The Ring and the Book by Robert Browning. Book 4, Part 4. She began. "You have sent me letters, sir. I have read none. I can neither read nor write. But she you gave them to, a woman here, one of the people in whose power I am, partly explained their sense, I think, to me. Obliged to listen while she inculcates that you, a priest, can dare love me, a wife, desire to live or die as I shall bid. She makes me listen if I will or no. Because you saw my face a single time. It cannot be, she says, the thing you mean. Such wickedness were deadly to us both. But good, true love would help me now so much. I tell myself you may mean good and true. You offer me, I seem to understand, because I am in poverty and starve, much money, where one piece would save my life. The silver cup upon the altar cloth is neither yours to give nor mine to take, but I might take one bit of bread therefrom, since I am starving, and return the rest, yet do no harm. This is my very case. I am in that strait. I may not dare abstain from so much of assistance as would bring the guilt of theft on neither you nor me, but no superfluous particle of aid. I think, if you will let me state my case, even had you been so fancy-fevered here, not your sound self, you must grow healthy now. Care only to bestow what I can take. That it is only you in the wide world, knowing me, nor in thought, nor word, nor deed, who, all unprompted, save by your own heart, come proffering assistance now, were strange, but that my whole life is so strange. As strange it is, my husband, whom I have not wronged, should hate and harm me. For his own soul's sake, hinder the harm. But there is something more, and that the strangest. It has got to be, somehow, for my sake, too, and yet not mine. This is a riddle. For some kind of sake, not any clearer to myself than you, and yet as certain as that I draw breath. I would fain live, not die. Oh, no, not die. My case is, I was dwelling happily at Rome with those dear Comparini, called Mother and father to me, when at once I found I had become Count Guido's wife, who then, not waiting for a moment, changed into a fury of fire, if once he was merely a man. His face threw fire at mine. He laid a hand on me that burned all peace, all joy, all hope, and last all fear away, dipping the bough of life, so pleasant once, in fire which shriveled leaf and bud alike, burning not only present life but past, which you might think was safe beyond his reach. He reached it, though, since that beloved pair, my father once, my mother all those years, that loved me so, now say I dreamed a dream, and bid me wake, henceforth no child of theirs, never in all the time their child at all. Do you understand? I cannot. Yet so it is. Just so, I say of you that proffer help. I cannot understand what prompts your soul. I simply needs must see that it is so. Only one strange and wonderful thing more. They came here with me, those two dear ones, kept all the old love up, till my husband, till his people here, so tortured them, they fled. And now, is it because I grow in flesh and spirit one with him their torturer, that they, renouncing him, must cast off me? If I were graced by God to have a child, could I one day deny God graced me so? Then, since my husband hates me, I shall break no law that reigns in this fell house of hate, by using, letting have effect so much of hate as hides me from that whole of hate, would take my life, which I want and must have. Just as I take from your excess of love enough to save my life with, all I need. The Archbishop said to murder me were sin. My leaving Guido were a kind of death with no sin. More death he must answer for. Hear now what death to him and life to you I wish to pay and owe. Take me to Rome. You go to Rome. The servant makes me hear. Take me as you would take a dog, I think, masterless, left for strangers to maltreat. Take me home like that. Leave me in the house where the father and the mother are, and soon they'll come to know and call me by my name, their child once more, since child I am, for all they now forget me, which is the worst of the dream. And the way to end dreams is to break them. Stand, walk, go. Then help me to stand, walk, and go. The governor said the strong should help the weak. You know how weak the strongest women are. How could I find my way there by myself? I cannot even call out, make them hear, just as in dreams. I have tried and proved the fact. I have told this story and more to good great men, the Archbishop and the governor. They smiled. Stop your mouth, fair one. Presently they frowned. Get you gone. Disengage you from our feet. I went in my despair to an old priest, only a friar, no great man like these two, but good the Augustinian people named Romano. He confessed me 2 months since. He fears God. Why then needs he fear the world? And when he questioned how it came about that I was found in danger of a sin, despair of any help from Providence. Since, though your husband outrage you, said he, that is a case too common. The wives die or live, but do not sin so deep as this. Then I told, what I never will tell you, how worse than husband's hate I had to bear, the love, soliciting to shame, called love, of his brother, the young idle priest in the house, with only the devil to meet there. This is grave. Yes, we must interfere, I counsel. Write to those who used to be your parents once, of dangers here. Bid them convey you hence. But, said I, when I neither read nor write? Then he took pity and promised, I will write. If he did so, why, they are dumb or dead. Either they give no credit to the tale, or else, wrapped wholly up in their own joy of such escape, they care not who cries still in the clutches. Anyhow, no word arrives. All such extravagance and dreadfulness seems incident to dreaming, cured one way. Wake me! The letter I received this morn said, if the woman spoke your very sense, you would die for me. I can believe it now, for now the dream gets to involve yourself. First of all, you seemed wicked and not good in writing me those letters. You came in like a thief upon me. I this morning said, in my extremity, entreat the thief. Try if he have in him no honest touch. A thief might save me from a murderer. 'Twas a thief said the last kind word to Christ. Christ took the kindness and forgave the theft. And so did I prepare what I now say. But now that you stand and I see your face, though you have never uttered word yet, well, I know, here too has been dream work, delusion too, and that at no time you with the eyes here ever intended to do wrong by me, nor wrote such letters therefore. It is false, and you are true, have been true, will be true. To Rome, then. When is it you take me there? Each minute lost is mortal. When, I ask? I answered, It shall be when it can be. I will go hence and do your pleasure. Find the sure and speedy means of travel, then come back and take you to your friends in Rome. There wants a carriage, money, and the rest. A day's work by tomorrow at this time. How shall I see you and assure escape? She replied, Pass tomorrow at this hour. If I am at the open window, well. If I am absent, drop a handkerchief and walk by. I shall see from where I watch, and know that all is done. Return next eve, and next, and so till we can meet and speak. Tomorrow at this hour I pass, said I. She was withdrawn. Here is another point I bid you pause at. When I told thus far, someone said, subtly, Here at least was found your confidence in error. You perceived the spirit of the letters, in a sort, had been the lady's, if the body should be supplied by Guido. Say he forged them all. Here was the unforged fact. She sent for you, spontaneously elected you to help. What men call loved you. Guido read her mind, gave it expression to assure the world the case was just as he foresaw. He wrote, she spoke. Sirs, that first simile serves still. The falsehood of a scorpion hatched, I say, nowhere in the world but in Madonna's mouth. Go on. Suppose that falsehood foiled, next eve, pictured Madonna raised her painted hand, fixed the face Raphael bent above the babe, on my face, as I flung me at her feet. Such miracle vouchsafed and manifest. Would that prove the first lying tale was true? Pompilia spoke, and I at once received, accepted my own fact, my miracle, self-authorized and self-explained. She chose to summon me and signify her choice. Afterward, oh, I gave a passing glance to a certain ugly cloud shape, goblin shred of hell smoke hurrying past the splendid moon, out now to tolerate no darkness more, and saw right through the thing that tried to pass for truth and solid, not an empty lie. So, he not only forged the words for her, but words for me, made letters he called mine. What I sent he retained, gave these in place, all by the mistress messenger. As I recognized her at potency of truth, so she, by the crystalline soul, knew me, never mistook the signs. Enough of this. Let the wraith go to nothingness again. Here is the orb. Have only thought for her. Thought? Nay, sirs, what shall follow was not thought. I have thought sometimes, and thought long and hard. I have stood before, gone round a serious thing, tasked my whole mind to touch and clasp it close, as I stretch forth my arm to touch this bar. God and man, and what duty I owe both, I dare to say I have confronted these in thought, but no such faculty helped here. I put forth no thought. Powerless, all that night, I paced the city. It was the first spring. By the invasion I lay passive to, in rushed new things, the old were wrapped away, alike abolished the imprisonment of the outside air, the inside weight of the world that pulled me down. Death meant to spurn the ground, soar to the sky, die well, and you do that. The very immolation made the bliss. Death was the heart of life, and all the harm my folly had crouched to avoid now proved avail, hiding all gain my wisdom strove to grasp. As if the intense center of the flame should turn a heaven to that devoted fly, which hitherto, sophist alike and sage, St. Thomas with his sober gray goose quill, and sinner Plato by Cephisian reed, would fain, pretending just the insect's good, whisk off, drive back, consign to shade again. into another state, under new rule, I knew myself was passing swift and sure, whereof the initiatory pang approached. Felicitous annoy, as bittersweet, as when the virgin band the victors chased, feel at the end the earthly garments drop, and rise, with something of a rosy shame, into immortal nakedness. So I lay, and let come the proper throw with thrill, into the ecstasy, and outthrob pain. In the gray of the dawn, it was I found myself facing the pillared front of the Pieve, mine, my church. It seemed to say for the first time, "But am I not the bride, the mystic love of the Lamb, who took thy plighted troth, my priest, to fold thy warm heart on my heart of stone, and freeze thee, nor unfasten any more? This is a fleshly woman. Let the free bestow their lifeblood. Thou art pulseless now. See, day by day I had risen and left this church, at the signal waved me by some foolish fan, with half a curse and half a pitying smile, for the monk I stumbled over in my haste, prostrate and corpse-like at the altar foot, intent on his corona. Then the church was ready with her quip, if word conduced, to quicken my pace, nor stop for prating. There, be thankful you are no such ninny. Go, rather to teach a black-eyed novice cards than gabble Latin and protrude that nose smooth to a sheep's through no brains and much faith. That sort of incentive. Now the church changed tone. Now when I found out first that life and death are means to an end, that passion uses both, indisputably mistress of the man whose form of worship is self-sacrifice. Now from the stone lungs sighed the scrannel voice, "Leave that live passion. Come, be dead with me." As if in the fabled garden I had gone on great adventure, plucked in ignorance hedge fruit and feasted to satiety, laughing at such high fame for hips and haws, and scorned the achievement. Then come all at once of the prize of the place, the thing of perfect gold, the apple's self, and scarce my eye on that was ware as well of the sevenfold dragon's watch. Sirs, I obeyed. Obedience was too strange. This new thing that had been struck into me by the look of the lady, to dare disobey the first authoritative word, 'twas God's. I had been lifted to the level of her, could take such sounds into my sense. I said, "We two are cognizant of the Master now. She it is bids me bow the head. How true! I am a priest. I see the function here. I thought the other way, self-sacrifice. This is the true, seals up the perfect sum. I pay it, sit down, silently obey." So I went home. Dawn broke, noon broadened. I sat stone still, let time run over me. The sun slanted into my room, had reached the west. I opened book. Aquinas blazed with one black name only on the white page. I looked up, saw the sunset. Vespers rang. She counts the minutes till I keep my word and come say all is ready. I am a priest. Duty to God is duty to her. I think God, who created her, will save her too, some new way, by one miracle the more, without me. Then prayer may avail, perhaps. I went to my own place in the Pieve, read the office. I was back at home again, sitting in the dark. Could she but know, that were there good in this distinct from God's, really good as it reached her, though procured by a sin of mine. I should sin. God forgives. She knows it is no fear withholds me. Fear? Of what? Suspense here is the terrible thing. If she should, as she counts the minutes, come on the fantastic notion that I fear the world now, fear the Archbishop, fear perhaps Count Guido, he who, having forged the lies, may wait the work, attend the effect. I fear the sword of Guido! Let God see that, hating lies, let not her believe a lie! Again the morning found me. I will work, tie down my foolish thoughts. Thank God so far. I have saved her from a scandal, stopped the tongues had broken else into a cackle and hiss around the noble name. Duty is still wisdom. I have been wise. So the day wore. At evening. But achieving victory, I must not blink the priest's peculiar part, nor shrink to counsel, comfort, priest and friend. How do we discontinue to be friends? I will go minister, advise her seek help at the source. Above all, not despair. There may be other, happier help at hand. I hope it. Wherefore then neglect to say? There she stood, leaned there for the second time over the terrace, looked at me, then spoke. Why is it you have suffered me to stay, breaking my heart, 2 days more than was need? Why delay help your own heart yearns to give? You are again here, in the selfsame mind I see here, steadfast in the face of you. You grudge to do no one thing that I ask. Why then is nothing done? You know my need. Still, through God's pity on me, there is time, and one day more. Shall I be saved or no? I answered, Lady, waste no thought, no word, even to forgive me. Care for what I care, only. Now follow me, as I were fate. Leave this house in the dark tomorrow night, just before daybreak. There's new moon this eve. It sets, and then begins the solid black. Descend, proceed to the Torrione, step over the low dilapidated wall, take San Clemente. There's no other gate unguarded at the hour. Some paces thence an inn stands. Cross to it. I shall be there. She answered, If I can but find the way, but I shall find it. Go now. I did go, took rapidly the route myself prescribed, stopped at Torrione, climbed the ruined place, proved that the gate was practicable, reached the inn no eye, despite the dark, could miss, knocked there and entered, made the host secure.
With cup and sake it is ask and have. I know my betters. Are you bound for Rome? I get swift horse and trusty man, said he.
Then I retraced my steps, was found once more in my own house for the last time. There lay the broad, pale, open Summa. Shut his book. There's others showing. 'Twas a Thomas, too, obtained, more favored than his namesake here. A gift, tied faith fast, foiled the tug of doubt. Our Lady's girdle. Down he saw it drop as she ascended into heaven, they say. He kept that safe and bade all doubt adieu. I too have seen a lady and hold a grace. I know not how the night passed. Morning broke. Presently came my servant.
Sir, this eve. Do you forget?
I started.
How forget? What is it you know?
"With due submission, sir, this being last Monday in the month but one, and a vigil, since tomorrow is St. George, and feast day, and moreover day for copes, and Canon Conti now away a month, and Canon Crispy sour, because, forsooth, you let him sulk in stall and bear the brunt of the octave. Well, sir, 'tis important."
"True.
Hearken. I have to start for Rome this night. No word, lest Crispy overboil and burst. Provide me with a laic dress. Throw dust in the canon's eye. Stop his tongue scandal so. See there's a sword in case of accident." I knew the knave. The knave knew me. And thus, through each familiar hindrance of the day, did I make steadily for its hour and end. Felt time's old barrier growth of right and fit give way through all its twines and let me go. Use and wont recognize the accepted man, let speed the special service, and I sped, till at the dead between midnight and the morn, there was I at the goal before the gate, with a tune in the ears, low leading up to loud, a light in the eyes, faint that would soon be flare. Ever some spiritual witness new and new, in faster frequence, crowding solitude, to watch the way of the warfare, till at last, when the ecstatic minute must bring birth, began a whiteness in the distance, waxed whiter and whiter, near grew and more near, till it was she. There did Pompilia come. The white I saw shine through her was her soul's. Certainly, for the body was one black, black from head down to foot. She did not speak, glided into the carriage. So a cloud gathers the moon up. By San Spirito, to Rome, as if the road burned underneath. Reach Rome, then hold my head in pledge. I pay the run and risk to heart's content. Just that, I said. Then, in another nick of time, sprang, was beside her. She and I alone. So it began, our flight through dusk to clear, through day and night, and day again to night once more, and to last dreadful dawn of all. End of part 4 of book 6 of The Ring and the Book.